There are signposts along the way to Dallas. When you leave Little Rock and you head towards Texarkana, the sign says Texarkana, 127 miles. Then it goes down and it says Arkadelphia, 40-something miles. And you go further and further, and then finally you get to Texarkana. When you leave Texarkana and you're on Interstate 30 and you're going to Dallas, the sign says Dallas, 180, 74 miles, or whatever it may be, amen. And the closer you get to your destination, there are signposts along the way, amen. Isn't that true? Well, it's the same thing with a slothful person. There are signposts along the way that come that say, hey, there's a problem here, there's a problem here, and there's a problem here. If you don't look at the signpost and make a correction. Now, see, sometimes if you fell asleep at the wheel, you might wake up when you're going to Dallas and it say New Orleans, 27 miles. What happened? That means you took a wrong turn somewhere, amen? Amen. Doesn't it? It means something happened. You got off course. Well, how do you know you got off course? There's a signpost there that said New Orleans, 27 miles. Well, if you see that signpost, don't just squall and bawl and pull the car over and just say, oh, it's me. I can't ever get to Dallas. You know, my car's got a mind of its own. Don't do that. Just stop and turn around, refill the gas tank, and head to Dallas. Amen? That's what you have to do. Second, we said, a slothful man makes soft choices. He little by little fades away. A slothful person makes very soft choices in their life. In other words, little things add up over a period of time. The decisions that they make over a period of time put them in a position. Number three, we said a slothful man does not value time. He's not a planner. And he will be forced into hard labor. If you're ever forced into any situation, you can prevent that by being diligent. Amen? Number four, we said a slothful man never finishes what he starts. Have you ever seen a person that always, they go here and they start something, they get mad because it's not working and they want to quit, they want to sell it, they want to get rid of it, or they want to move two towns over? Come on now. Amen? Boy, it's a good place to say amen. I mean, as a young man, I felt like that several times. I know all of us have had that inclination at some time or another. Amen? A slothful man lives in a world of wishful thinking, and tension is always high. Have you ever been in a situation where tension and strife is always high? There's always pressure on a situation. Why is that? Because generally, the person is living in a wishful world, wishful thinking. They're in a position where they think everything's going fine when really it's not going fine. What have they done? They've been deceived or blinded to the fact that they can't see the signpost along the way. Amen? Isn't that true? If your children are having trouble and the report card doesn't look good, the report card is what? A signpost along the way, isn't it? Come on now. If your boss sets you down and says, hey, you know, this quarter's evaluation, you need to improve on 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those ought to be what? Signposts along the way. Amen? Come on now. A slothful person brings pain and damage to his family, church, and employer. We talked about that. We looked at several scriptures about how a slothful person actually causes his own family a lot of damage. Why is that? Because other family members have to kick in and make up the difference for the slothful spirit. Amen? And it causes hurt. It causes resentment. It causes anger. And many families, even in the place of employment. Have you ever been in a place of employment that one employee in your department is not carrying his or her weight? Amen? And you're kind of making it up for them, but over a period of time, because you keep doing this for them and you keep reminding them and they refuse to be diligent, what happens? Anger builds up, resentment. Actually, Jesus had righteous indignation. It wasn't anger, it was righteous indignation. Remember when he went into the temple and he threw over the money changers' tables and he threw everything down? He picked up that whip and he began to whip those people out of the temple. What were they doing? Over a period of time, they got slothful. And the word of God kept coming to him and coming to him and coming to him. And then finally, he had to do something. Amen? He had to go in there and change the situation. That's not God's best. Amen? That's not God's best at all. And then a slothful man is the victim of self-induced fear. He knows what to do but refuses to obey. He knows what to do but refuses to obey. Why? Self-induced fear. And we talked about, well, how do you correct this slothful? Well, you discipline yourself by fasting. Miss Tiffany's been teaching now 2 weeks. Is that right? On fasting. And then we're going to teach a little bit more about corporate fasting Wednesday night. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because the Lord really gave me a word for you this morning that involves and is an extension of being diligent. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here, and I know I've got about 35 minutes, but I need you guys to be really with me this morning, amen, because I'm going to start sharing some things in this message on rewards of diligence that will show you how practical application can change your current situations. Amen? Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go over to Proverbs chapter 10. And let's get through these scriptures because I feel like it's important. The rewards of being diligent. Let's see what the Bible says about that. You remember also we said if you want to learn the principles of being diligent, you study the ants. Go to Proverbs chapter 6 and look at verse 8. Proverbs 6 and look at verse 8. We'll start right there. Proverbs 6 and look at verse 8. Again, these are practical things. You know, many people may say, well, that message wasn't too spiritual. Oh, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. It's a powerful message that I'm preaching to you this morning. Now, generally, your flesh doesn't want to hear it. Amen. It's kind of like that. Have you ever been around that child does not want to clean up his bedroom? Amen. Or that employee that will not clean up the filing cabinet? Or how about, let's just use this. How about that person that will not clean out its email inbox? Come on now. I'm hitting home now. I know I'm going to hit somebody. Amen. Look at what the verse says here. Proverbs 6 and look at verse 6. It says, go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. Look at this. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now let me say that one more time because there's a principle here. There's a piece of wisdom that can change your life forever. Now see, how do we correct slothfulness or laziness? How do we correct that? Well, God says go look at the ant. Well, what does the ant do? Many people say, now, Pastor Dwayne was preaching on ants this morning. I can just hear it now at the dinner table in the restaurants across town. Pastor Dwayne was preaching on ants. What has ants got to do with anything? Well, did you hear what God said about the ants here? Remember, God created ants, didn't He? Amen. Didn't He? Come on now. If He created ants, He created ants for a purpose. If the purpose wasn't just for you to hear this message this morning, that ant would have fulfilled its purpose. Amen? Come on now. Look at what God said here. He said, consider the ants' ways. Well, what ways do the ants have? Look at verse 7. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler provides her meat in summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What is that saying, Pastor Dwayne? The diligent are those people that do not need constant supervision. Write that down somewhere. The diligent and the rewards will come to those diligent of the people that do not need constant supervision. If you need a boss to constantly tell you when you got to be to work, how to do your job. Have you ever been around that person? No matter how many times you told them, they wake up in a new day or they wake up in a new world every day. Come on. They come to work and, I mean, they look at you and you've told them, you've got a list. When you come to work, here's 10 items. The first thing you do when you walk in the door, you take this list of 10 items, you sign your name to it, you put the date on it, and then you do every 10 items to start your day out. And then, have you ever been around that person? I have. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been around them when they walk in and you've showed them that 10 days in a row and they walk in, the first thing they do is they're standing around with a cup of coffee And you walk in the door and say, hey, how's it going? You're trying to be nice. You're trying to, you know, be a great employer, or you're trying to be a good family member. Whatever. Hey, how's it going? Everything going good? Oh, yeah. Well, what happened this week? Well, it was this good and that, and this went on. Oh, great. Okay. Well, what you doing? Well, I don't know. What you want me to do? Come on now. Have you ever been around that person? You walk in and you ask, well, what you doing? Well, what do I need to do? What are we doing today? Hallelujah, what's going on today? Well, do you remember the list that we're supposed to start with every day? Oh yeah, that list. And they go over there and they get that list out, hallelujah, and they put it up there and said, okay, now what do I do with this list? They need constant supervision all the time. Rewards will never come to that person. Why? Because they're not like the ant. Isn't that good? Amen. Now let's go over and look at some more scriptures here. Let me just say a few things about the ants. Amen. Now church is the same way. Now there's been, now I'm not, this is pastor talking, but there's sometimes we walk in church and you know what? A person is assigned a job or whatever in church, and you know, I walk in or whatever, and we've got a detailed list of how to do something, hallelujah, and we go over that 10 times. First thing you walk in, the lights are off. Everybody standing around having coffee. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, how's everybody doing? Great, man. Everything's good and it's cool. We're having a good old time. Well, how's your family? It's great and everything. Well, boy, it's going to be a great service, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you think we could turn the lights on? Oh, yeah, lights. I guess we need to turn the lights on. Hallelujah. Amen. Or we need to get the music going. Or we need to, you know, do the bulletin. Whatever it may be. Amen. Come on now. The diligent do not need constant supervision. Rewards always come to the diligent. Amen? Now the ants are what? They're the most laborious insect in existence. The most highly industrialized in existence. They collect food in their proper season. Proverbs 30 and verse 25. They fondly attach to their young. They have great keen foresight for others in the colony. Amen? They work quietly without show. Amen? Boy, I heard amen right there. They work tirelessly until the work is done. Everybody say done.
Done.
When Jesus comes, he's going to say, well done, thou faithful and great little servant. Amen? He said, because you've been faithful with a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Amen? So we're not done until what? Jesus comes. So we ought to be constantly plugged in, working all the time for Jesus. Amen? They work together in astonishing systems of organization to the best good of the whole community. Remember, guys, when you're a little kid, you got that little ant colony? You know, and maybe it was a biology or a science project, and you brought it home, and you sat it there and you watched those ants day in and day out, and they did the same thing. They were so industrious. They just kept going. Let me just tell you something. The owners of the businesses in this city, there's one common thread. Now, I'm not being spiritual here, folks. Let me not be very spiritual. The owners of the businesses in this city, and all you got to do is drive down Highway 64 and look at all the signs. All you got to do is drive down Main Street and look at all the little shops. All you got to do is drive over into the industrial area of Conway and look at all the big buildings. Every one of those businesses has an owner. And those owners cannot maintain those businesses without being diligent. And did you know that 5% of the people in this city are controlling the other 95%? Why is that? They understand these principles. Now, I'm not being very spiritual. Amen? I'm giving you some practical things here. Amen? They're ingenious carpenters and masons building their own system of homes and underground tunnels. They keep their homes scrumptuously clean. Now let me just tell you this. If you're around pastor, I tell the employees here at the Net Cafe, cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen? I remember my grandmother when I was from this size all the way up to a teenager. Every time I'd go up there in the summer, we'd go up to Massachusetts, and they had a little cabin in Maine that we'd always hang out for a couple weeks. And I mean, you walk in my grandmother's house, And it almost made you feel uncomfortable because it was like the showroom floor down at Dillard's. I mean, the crystal shined, everything shined, the wood floors were clean, the carpet was clean, the rugs were dusted, all the wood was dusted, it was immaculate. And she used to always say, Dwayne, cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen? Amen? Come on now. It takes being diligent. Now look at what else it says. Each specific job is to help meet the needs of the community that they get involved in. They fight to death to protect their own homes and young from enemies. Ants do. They fight to death. Now, oh, that's good right there. They fight to their death to protect their family and their church family. Amen? Their social life compares with that of human beings in many respects. They're very social insects. Now, see, you didn't know all this was in the Bible, didn't you? No, well, God put it there for a reason. See, we always preach about the hallelujah, let's get excited, let's get delivered, let's do all that. But you know what? Diligence is a key to receiving rewards. They are intelligent and wise. Go to Proverbs 6 and look at verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider ways, and what? Be wise. So God says the ants are wise. The sluggard is not wise. Amen? Look at verse 9 there. How long will you sleep, O slugger? When will you arise out of your sleep? A little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall the spirit of poverty come as one that travels, and thy want as an armed man. You see where poverty and diligence are opposites? Amen? Come on now. Poverty and lack and diligence are opposites. Diligence always brings rewards. Well, let's go over and look at some scriptures on that. Go to 10, Proverbs 10, a few pages there to your right. Look at verse 4. He that becomes poor, he becometh poor, or in other words, you're on the road to the spirit of poverty, amen, if you deal with a slack hand. In other words, you're slothful. But the hand of the diligent, it what? Oh, come on now, I didn't hear that. Come on, FFI. The hand of the diligent, what? Yeah, so riches come from what? Amen, hallelujah. Let's go over to Proverbs 12 and look at verse 24. See, people don't like to make this connection, but there's a strong connection here in the Word of God. Proverbs 12 and look at verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be what? Under rule or under tribute. In other words, the diligent are those who are going to rule in this earth. Have you ever felt, I think everyone has been in this position. Have you ever felt controlled? Come on now. Have you ever felt controlled? Boy, I have too. Have you ever felt controlled by the credit card companies? You got the credit card, you didn't read the fine print, and oh, by the way, when you miss the payment, it's a $100 fee. Am I being truthful? If it's not $100, it's a pretty expensive little fee. And then, oh, by the way, because you didn't pay your balance off at a certain time, now we're charging you 21% interest. Amen. I got caught up in one credit card once. I mean, as soon as I got it, I had a heyday. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a clue. If you can't live on what you make, don't spend anymore. Come on. Live on what you make. So I went out and had a heyday, spent about $2,000 or $3,000. Amen. Didn't read the fine print. Took me about 5 or 6 years of paying $200 a month. I must have paid them at least $5,000 or $6,000. They made a good $2,000 or $3,000 just in interest on me. Come on now. Now see, when you pay that credit card bill every month, amen, and you don't look at the interest that you're paying and you're not adding all that up over a period of time, come on. I mean, they'll kill you. Why? Because you're not diligent. Amen. You're controlled. Why? Because you need the credit card. Why? Because you've dealt with a slack hand. Amen. You're trying to make up. Or you've been controlled by a spirit of trying to be like the Joneses. Amen. Don't be like the Joneses, be like the Jesus. Amen. Come on, be like Jesus. Look at another scripture here. Go to Proverbs 12 and look at verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, But the substance of the diligent man is precious. Now, you know what that's saying? That's saying that a hunter, a slothful person, will go out and kill something and look at it and go, oh, I'm too lazy to cut it up and skin it. I'm just going to let it sit there and rot. But a diligent man will take that deer, that animal, or that business and take every... I remember when I was a kid, my mom, when she made chicken tortillas or chicken enchiladas or whatever, she'd boil a whole chicken. And she'd stick that chicken in there and she'd boil that whole chicken and she'd get that chicken so soft. She would take that chicken totally apart. There wasn't any waste at all. When that chicken went in the trash, it was bones, let me tell you. Why? Because she was... Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. Now, I know you're old enough to understand that. She took everything off that chicken. Now, the slothful would go in there and do what? Well, I just want the breast meat and then throw the chicken away. Amen? Come on now, have we ever done that? No. Oh, now, you're in church. Amen? Well, look at what it says here. Look at this. It says here, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance, or what the diligent man kills, is precious to him. Even a business or a household, the diligent, everything around them is precious. They don't waste anything. Are you following me? Have you ever been around that person? They're real wasteful. Well, let's just use this much and the rest of that. You know, you're cutting up a salad and you automatically cut half of that head of lettuce and half of it goes in the sink and you just want the best of the best. Amen. Well, hey, man, there's rabbits. Come on. There's cats. There's critters. There's animals. Come on now. Be diligent with it. Let's look at another scripture. You learn anything this morning? Amen. Go to Proverbs 13. Look at verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Look at that. You see how God's comparing a slothful person and a diligent person? It says the soul of the diligent will be made fat. Let me put that in Arkansas lingo. Riches are on the way. Rewards are on the way. Amen? Rewards are on the way to the diligent. Look at Proverbs 21. Look at verse 5. Y'all didn't think there's that many scriptures in the Bible about this, did you? Proverbs 21. Look at verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness. The thoughts of the diligent are always on the right track. But everyone that is hasty only to want. In other words, a slothful person is always hasty to make a quick decision. I don't worry about it. And they always come to want. They're not diligent with what the world has given, with what God has given them. God's given us a world. He's given us every resource. Did you know all the money in the world is still in the world? Did you know that God's not going to rain $20 bills out of heaven for you? No, that $20 bill was actually made out of the wood that grows here on the earth. Amen? Come on. That gold was harvested out of the ground that's on the earth. So God's given us the earth and we've got to be diligent with it. Amen? Now let me just give you this example right here. Your automobile, every part in your automobile, there may be a million parts inside your automobile. Somebody was diligent and designed every part in your automobile and they manufactured every part in your automobile out of the materials and substance that is in the earth. Did you know that? They were diligent with it. They were so diligent now that they have factories that they have designed to where they can build these cars in probably one day. These assembly lines can put these cars together in one day. Don't tell me that doesn't take diligence and that doesn't take planning. And what's their reward? When you go down to the Chevy dealer, you pay them about $25,000 for all that diligence. Amen? Now it may only cost them $10,000. Listen to me. It may have only cost them $10,000 for that car, but they're making a $15,000 profit on you. Why? Because of their diligence. Come on now, amen? Can you see how diligence pays off? There's rewards in diligence. See, most spiritual people, especially faith people and real super spiritual people, think that God's going to rain money out of heaven. It ain't going to happen. Or they think that God's got a special seed that's planted in the ground that produces a money tree. And $1 bills are going to pop out every spring. That ain't going to happen either. You're going to have to be diligent with what God gave you. Amen. See, some people get goofy and they just think, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, my harvest is coming. And then they get back in and they go back to bed in the morning. They get back up. Oh, my harvest is coming. Hallelujah. The Bible says, give and it'll be given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yet they'll get back in there and, you know, there'll be a preacher on TV say, hey man, can you help us with our ministry? There'll be a local church in their own town say, hey, can you help us meet the needs of the poor? Oh no, can't do that. Oh, hallelujah. My harvest is coming. No, that person's deceived. They're not being what? Diligent with what God gave them. Amen. Look at another scripture here. Proverbs 27, look at verse 23. I knew this was going to go over good. Amen. Look at Proverbs 27, look at verse 23. Isn't this good though? Do we not need this? Amen. Come on, folks. Let me just tell you something. Some folks are trying to get to Dallas, but they're on the road to Waugahatchee or Alexander, Louisiana. Can I be honest with you? Some people are trying to get to Dallas, but they keep waking up on Interstate 20 going to Shreveport. And they can't figure out why they can't get to Dallas. And this is just some good practical stuff. We need to stop and we just kind of what? You know what repentance is? Let me tell you, it's not getting up here and squalling and bawling on the altar. No, repentance is making a change. It's recognizing that I'm going the wrong way and I need to make a change. And it's understanding who you are in Christ Jesus, that your sin is as far as the east is from the west. Okay, look, I was not diligent in this area. I see what the Word says. Now I've got to make a change. Amen? I've got to make a change. We all have to face change. There's one constant thing in this earth, and that is change. We have to constantly face it all the time. And if you're not willing to change, you're either going to become slothful or you're going to get hurt or you're going to get left behind. Amen? Amen? Now let's look at another scripture here. Did I say Proverbs 27, 23? Proverbs 27, look at verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. What's he saying there? You better know exactly what's going on with everything you're doing. Now, Tiffany and I are experiencing some cost problems over at the Net Cafe. What do you think Tiffany and I are doing? We're in there right now being diligent. I'm looking at every little ketchup packet. Why is that? Because we are responsible for the money that you've given. Amen? Amen? Isn't it God's money? I mean, we're just executives that are responsible for the money. And the same thing in the ministry here. We don't just flippantly do something. So I've had some people say, well, Pastor, golly, can't we do this or can't we do that? No, we are called to be diligent with the funds that have come into the ministry. We're not flippant with that. Amen? So in the cafe right now, if the costs are a little off or whatever, what do we got to do? Look at what it says right here. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and to look well into your herds. Business people, listen to me. If you have a business that you're operating and you are not constantly looking at the cost of the business, then there's going to be trouble somewhere down the road. If you're not constantly looking at the budget in your household and knowing exactly what the budget is. Now, let me just tell you, now, Tiffany and I have, the devil's tried to get us off into error. And let me just tell you some of the ways he does that. There's some practical things this morning. Amen. He gets you so overwhelmed that all you're doing is throwing mud at the wall, mud at the wall, mud at the wall, mud at the wall. You're trying to fix the problem. You're throwing mud, but it's just hitting the wall and falling down. Hitting the wall and falling down. Hitting the wall and falling down. Why? Because you get so overwhelmed. You get too stretched out. If you get too stretched out to where you're paying the bills at the last day, or you're waiting until the shutoff date is, or you're waiting until they totally shut your credit card off, you're not being diligent. The word here says, be aware. Let's read it one more time. The diligent know the state. Everybody say state. They know the situation that's going on constantly. Now, let me just tell you this. This ministry has grown quickly. Amen. Some areas of the ministry has grown faster than we could handle. I'm just being honest with you. There are needs that have grown. There are equipment needs. There are other needs in the cafe. I mean, we got music ministry. We got the pulpit ministry. There's children's ministry that has needs. Now we have the Net Cafe. And there are some areas that have grown so fast that it's frankly startled Tiffany and I. It got us to the point where we weren't diligent or we didn't see everything that was going on. What happened? Repentance. You see the situation and you turn and you look at it and you begin to do what? You look diligently to see the state of what's going on. The state of the union address by the president is what? Him letting us know what in the world's going on. Amen? So the diligent are constantly watching. Look at verse 24. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. Go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Y'all getting anything this morning? Amen. Proverbs 11. I know this is not the most popular message. I'd like to be hooping and hollering up here. Amen. Jumping up and down. I mean, preaching some deep revelation. Oh, that's deep, brother. Deep, deep, deep. Amen. But we can't get to the deep, or we're going to go off the deep end if we don't understand the practical things that God's trying to tell us. Amen. Come on. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 27. It says here, he that diligently seeks good favor or procures favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. The diligent always have favor on them. They always seek favor. They always seek to be around successful people. Let me tell you, write that down somewhere. Diligent people hang out with diligent people, and slothful people hang out with slothful people. Why do the poor gather up in groups and the rich gather up in groups? Because they collect one another. Come on now. The diligent will automatically try and be around other diligent people. Why? Because he wants to refine whatever he's doing. And the lazy people are going to be around lazy people. Amen? Come on now. Aren't we diligent? There ain't a lazy bone in this church, is there? Boy, I didn't hear anything there. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is interactive church, if you hadn't found out here. Proverbs 22, look at verse 29. Proverbs 22, and look at verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Now, let's read that out of the Amplified. Let me jump over there and read that out of the Amplified. Proverbs 22. Do you have something to add there? Proverbs 22. Look at verse 29 out of the Amplified. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. A diligent person stays away from the slothful or tries to correct the slothful. And let me just tell you something. A slothful person trying to be corrected is the worst misery. If a person doesn't want to do something, I don't care if you tell them 100 times. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. You've got to realize sometimes you've got to move on. Amen. In business, I've realized this as a businessman over the years, and even dealing in the restaurant business. Some people just do not want to change. You've got to make a decision, amen, of how is that going to affect you? Do you want to keep that person? Now, some people get off in the Word of God and say, well, we're just going to love them until they fix it. We're just going to love them until the world. No, the Bible says that a slothful man brings hurt to his family. Now, you surround yourself with 4 or 5 slothful people, and let me tell you something, your business will go nowhere fast. Amen? Come on. So if you're not constantly correcting, and even in the business world, you have to make decisions. And I know all of us work, amen, at different places. And we have to realize that where we work, we have to make decisions every day. Your employer has to make decisions every day too. Amen? Your job is not a guarantee, is it? No. You come and you work. Why? There's a contract that you have made between you and your employer. Your employer pays you, and what do you give him in return? Work. Diligence. Amen? Now see, many people don't understand it. And let me just tell you something. The reason we have training for reigning classes, and we'll begin to start those again in September, you know why we have a heart to train it? Because the workforce today is lazy. Amen. Come on now. It's lazy. I mean, if some of the people that's in the workforce today were put into the situation in the 80s, amen, I don't know what they'd do. Come on now. Some people are just lazy. Well, what do they got to do? They've got to recognize what's going on and do what? Just change. Here's how repentance is. It's so simple. You come to a point in your life and you realize the signposts are leading me to disaster. I don't want disaster in my life. You make a clear decision. I want more in my life. It's not rocket science. All you got to do, I'm not being very spiritual. All you got to do is do what? Turn and go towards your goal. Amen. And sometimes, and that's why we first start talking about fasting. Sometimes you just got to correct your body. You've got to get your body under control. If you've trained your body not to get up in the morning for 2 years, do you think it's automatically on Monday morning on that new job going to want to get up? Now, let me give you an example of this. I took a part-time job 3 years ago where I had to go back into the workforce and I was required to be there at a specific time every morning. Now, listen to me. This is your pastor talking. I had to be there specifically at a specific time every morning. I had a specific break at lunch from a certain time to a certain time, and then we got off at a certain time. Now, that job involved travel too, but I had been out of that type of atmosphere for 2 years. Let me just tell you something. I was a very diligent person in the business world. But being out of that atmosphere for 2 years and going back into it, I had to make fast changes. My body did not want to be there at that given time, 7 o'clock or 7:30 or whatever it wanted to be. It did not. Why? Because I had trained it and allowed it to do something else for a long period of time. What's that? What are you saying, Pastor? Diligence. Diligence brings rewards. Amen? Now going over and look at Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 12. And we'll close right here. Revelation chapter 22. You say, well, Pastor, this wasn't very spiritual. Oh, I preached a message to you, believe me. Boy, I preached a message this morning. You ought to get the CD and listen to it over and over and over and over again. Revelation 22, and look at verse 12. Look at what Jesus said. And behold, now we're talking about the church here. Amen. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To give, now look what it says, to give every man according as his work shall be. You're going to receive from Jesus according to what you've done. I'm not talking about salvation. We're not talking about grace. We're talking about rewards now. God has rewards. When Jesus comes, some are going to rule. Some are going to be governors. Some are going to reign over countries. Some are going to reign over cities. Some are going to reign over providences. And some are just going to be sweeping the floor. It's according to what you've done. You see what your rewards are? Look what it says. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And look what else it says. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. See, you've got to do something here, folks. Look at this. Now, remember James, he said, yeah, faith without works is what?
Dead.
That's right. Oh, I like that. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
That means you got to do something. You got to be diligent. Look at verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Look at that. Now I want you to go over and look at Matthew chapter 25. We'll close there. Matthew 25. Look at this. Now I'm giving you the word. Matthew 25. And look at verse 14. Matthew 25 and look at verse 14. Will you give me five more minutes? Come on now. Will you give me five more minutes here? Look at Matthew 25 and look at verse 14. Now the kingdom of heaven, now this is where we're going to pick up next Sunday. Let me tell you something. God gave me a word next Sunday. You want to invite everybody you know. Because we're going to share some stuff next Sunday, and the message title is going to be this. You might want to write this down and get ready for it. Heavenly Trust and Savings Bank. Amen? God's given me some insight about your Heavenly Trust and Savings Bank account. Amen, that we're going to share. Just jump for joy now. Love your enthusiasm there. Amen? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto him his goods. And look at this. And unto one he gave five talents. He's not talking about a talent or a gift. He's talking about money. Did you know Jesus taught that almost 40% of Jesus' teachings was about money? Come on now. Almost 40% of what Jesus taught in the New Testament was about money. Look at this right here. He says, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. And then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same, and he made five talents. Look at that. He was what? He was diligent, wasn't he? And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. What was he? He was diligent. Now see, it was according to his ability. Don't think that you have the same ability as someone else. Somebody else may have the ability to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. God ain't trying to get you to make hundreds of thousands of dollars or even be diligent in areas that you're not called to. He's going to give you an area that you're supposed to be diligent in. And it's going to be according to your ability. See, let me just tell you, the tithe is the great equalizer. If I made $100,000 last week, the tithe on that was $10,000. Amen? Well, if I gave $10,000 and you made $1,000, amen, the tithe on that's what? $100. Well, if you gave your $100 and I gave my $10,000, we're just as straight and even to God. Why? Because he gave you one ability and he gave me another ability. Amen? Come on now. Isn't that good? So he's just looking for you to act on what he's given you. He may only given you the ability to only do this. Hallelujah. I mean, have joy in it, folks. If that's where you're at, have great grace and have a good time in it. But look at what he says here. He said, okay, gave five talents to a guy. He made five talents. Gave two talents to a guy. But look at verse 18. But he that had one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now see, he's talking about money here. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. Isn't Jesus coming back? Aren't we going to have to reckon with him? Come on now. Look at what happened. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me five talents. Behold, look, I've gained beside it five talents. Look at verse 21. The Lord said unto him, well done, you good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, there's rewards coming. Rewards are coming. When you see, many people forget that. And the church doesn't preach about this much anymore. Amen. Rewards are coming. And therefore, people are lackadaisical. They've got no vision. They've got no desire. They don't know what to do. But let me just tell you, there's coming a reckoning time with Jesus. And we've all got to stand before him. Look at verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I've made you ruler. See, the same reward was to the guy that had two talents and made two talents as the same reward to the guy that had five talents. Why? Because God gave some an ability to make hundreds and thousands of dollars, gave some the ability to raise up huge children's ministries, gave some the ability to just watch the nursery. Amen? It's all the same in the eyes of God. You've just got to plug in on your own level and serve and give according to what God's given you. Now look at this. In verse 23, and his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. See, You are going to be made a ruler over many things when Jesus comes. See, he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and he can't do it all by himself. Why do you think church exists right now? Why do you think the body of Christ is so important? Because we're the family that's going to rule and reign the earth. Come on now. We are going to rule and reign everything. That's why it's so important to truly understand the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not straw, and I was afraid. Underline that. Fear came in. Now see, God gave them the ability, but they didn't act on it because of fear. And they went and hid the talent in the earth, and lo, there thou is that is yours. And look at verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. See, there's the slothful spirit again. Look at that. You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore, I'm a little loud, Valerie. Look at this. You should have therefore have put my money at least to the exchangers. Now see, God at least requires us to be smart enough to take what he's given us and bring some increase out of it. Now let me just switch gears here for a minute. How many people have you led to the Lord? Come on. Think for a minute. How many people have you led to the Lord? How many people have you invited to church? Quiet in here. Now see, he's talking about money, but he's at least given us the ability to share the gospel.
That's right.
And he's given us the ability to invite people. If you're excited about what God has done for you, shouldn't you share it with someone else? Come on. Shouldn't you share the power that he's given you, the revelation that he's given you in your life? Amen. Come on now. See, those same questions we're going to have to answer. Not just the money question, but those same, because he's given everybody the ability. See, Romans chapter 10 says that we are all ambassadors of Christ.
That's
Amen?
Right.
Amen? Isn't that good? So we know we're responsible there. Look at what else it says. Look at verse 27. You ought, therefore, had to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should at least receive my own with usury. You know what usury is? Interest. We should at least be smart enough to gain interest off of what we gain. Now, some people aren't financial wizards or anything else. You could at least put God's money in a savings account and bear interest. Amen? Look at what else he says. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Look at verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, from the slothful, give it unto him which has 10 talents. Now see, the Bible is full of, if you give, you shall receive. If you don't give, what you have will be taken away from you.
That's right.
Many people don't understand this. Look at what else it says here. For every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away, even that which he has. And look at what else happened in verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ooh. Let's not close on that. Amen? I don't think anyone wants to even consider that. Amen? So every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name for the spirit of the diligence at FFI. I thank you, Lord, that you're filling the room with the spirit of diligence right now. Everybody just raise their hands, begin to pray. We thank you, Lord, and Holy Spirit, that you are filling the room with the spirit of abundance, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have a heart towards you and your kingdom and your ministry, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for showing us your word on the slothful. And thank you, Lord, for showing us about diligence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing us about the ant, Lord. We receive today the spirit of the ant in Jesus' name. We receive today the spirit of the diligent. We have a spirit of excellence upon us, and our households, Lord. Holy Spirit, impart to us now exactly what we are to do and change, and we'll obey in Jesus' name. We'll walk your word out because faith without works is dead. And Father, we are here to please you. We honor you and we give you glory today in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. That's all I got. You learn anything this morning?